Hello, and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. And this week, we're going to be talking about a relatively familiar topic on this show, and that is the streaming sports revolution. And this time, we're going to be diving into a little bit of the niche kind of micro aspects and some of the small moves that kind of show what the larger picture is. We're going to be talking Twitter and Amazon and some other names as well. But before we get into that, I want to say, just remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. All right. So we've talked a lot about Amazon and their push into both sports and live streaming sports with Thursday night football coverage, documentary series, a recap or a preview show for football, live soccer rights in the UK, and then they're experimenting with all of this interactivity with Thursday night football on their streaming platform, Twitch. They're also experimenting with the NBA's developmental league, which is now called the G League. And I've said before, and I will say it again, that I definitely see Amazon being a streaming player that can challenge anyone in whatever point we think that television turns into pretty much only streaming. I think Amazon has a chance to be right up there with everyone in the sports world and taking on Netflix, who has said multiple times they will never get into live programming. So the fact that Amazon is going to be able to have all of their own original content in TV shows and movies mixed in with this live sports in these live talk shows about sports, I really think they'll be able to dominate that going forward, because why not? And they also have just the money to do so. But as I've said, they need to start eventually hiring talent, because at this point they're still just using the Fox broadcast. And obviously there's ESPN and there's CBS and NBC and Fox, and they're all at the moment, they have their own streaming. So it's not just Amazon and Twitter that are streaming sports and Facebook. All of these legacy media companies are doing it as well, and they have no plans to kind of just go by the wayside. They want to be in it for the long haul as well. And you have Google and YouTube TV and Hulu Live and AT&T and DirecTV now. But those are all, as I've said, those are all just, they're streaming services, but they're not offering anything unique in the sense that they don't own any different programming. It's just a slimmed down version of your basic cable package. So as I said, Amazon has the chance with what they're owning. They have to own these products going forward. And you have ESPN Plus. So Amazon and ESPN, I see as the two streaming companies that are going to be able to dominate the sports world going forward. ESPN Plus recently hit that $1 million number, and this is their slimmed down version that's standalone. You don't have to have an ESPN subscription or anything like that. And obviously it doesn't offer all of ESPN's content, because then why would anyone be paying for that on ESPN on cable? But it's a slimmed down version where you get kind of these lower end sports. You get a lot of soccer. So they're gearing a little bit towards the younger millennial audience, you could say. And then they're pushing out some original content that's only available on ESPN Plus. They recently launched last year when they launched this, they had a Kobe Bryant show where he broke down NBA games from his perspective. So it would be Kobe talking about what he saw in this play, and he would go through the game. And they just launched a couple weeks ago, or on October 18th to be exact, Peyton Manning breaking down at NFL games. So they're trying to offer something that's not available on ESPN to encourage people to do this. Kobe's going to then take over later this season with another season of his NBA show. And then for the UFC fans, which ESPN paid a bunch of money to get the rights for UFC, they're going to have a UFC edition where a former UFC fighter breaks down the fights that ESPN is covering on that platform. But those are what the big giant companies are doing at the moment. And I want to get into a company that reported late last week in their push into streaming sports, and that is Twitter. I want to talk a little bit just about some of the numbers that kind of explain what's going on before we detail any of their actual sports streaming. So they reported their Q3 earnings last Thursday morning, and their revenues jumped just under 20 or just over 29% to $758 million. It was their biggest year-over-year jump since the first quarter of 2016. In that $760 million crushed our Zach's estimate of just around $704 million. And the stock was up huge last Thursday, up over 15% at the close, and it was up again a little bit on Friday. And Twitter mentioned that video ads accounted for more than half of their ad revenue in Q2, because obviously, like Facebook and these other social media companies, Twitter makes a majority of its money from advertising. So that's a good sign to see that their video push is really paying off. And then another sign that's definitely what I would say is, if you're the bullish case for Twitter, is that their total ad engagements were up 50% and their cost per engagement was down 14%. So that is great news for them, that the people using their platform are really engaging with the ads they're being served, which is all advertisers want to see. And even if there wasn't that huge engagement rate, Facebook, Google, all of these places are just going to have more advertisers come, because as more and more people leave television, they're going to these non-ad supported platforms like Netflix and Amazon, and people are reading less print. So they're advertisers are not going to stop spending money. There are a lot of people making a lot of products, and they need to advertise it to people. So they have to find people somewhere. I know it sounds almost too easy, but that is Twitter's case for why it will be a viable business for a long period of time, because ads need to be reached. They need to reach people somewhere. There's a lot of users using Twitter. Their user count's going down, but I see that in the long run being all right, because at the moment they're trying to clean it up from all of this kind of malicious content that's spammy and robot style, but I don't want to get into all of that. And the company's pitch to brands and advertisers is very simple. It's, we create more engagement interactivity. Their Happening Now feature was built with sports fans in mind, in just things that are happening right at the moment, that it's only, the conversation doesn't matter unless it's happening now. If you read it 2 hours from now, it matters not at all. And I want to read a little quote from Twitter's upfront presentations last spring that kind of show exactly what's going on with the company and what they see as their way to stand out from competitors going forward. And this is starting the quote. Twitter is the only place where a conversation is tied to video in the biggest live moments, giving brands the unique ability to connect with leaned-in consumers who are shaping culture. And this is from Twitter's VP of Revenue and Content Partnership, Matthew Dorea. Sorry, Matthew, if I mispronounced your name. And this was from the upfronts in April. And he ended it with, "That's our superpower." So as I've said now too many times, it's just this mix of engagement, and now that they're pushing more into live events as well, it's all happening in the same place, kind of what goes on Twitch, which is Amazon's streaming platform, where you have a lot of esports fans watching video game streams, and they're also communicating with each other while they're watching it. And that is what Twitter hopes to be able to do long term with their push into live video and live streaming. So they currently have deals with a bunch of big publishing and media companies, NBC Universal, Viacom, Activision Blizzard was a big recent one, and they offer a lot of live events. You can watch weekly Major League Soccer games, weekly Major League Baseball games during the season, Formula One races. They've had coverage of golf on their platform before, but one of the big things that people almost forget, and sometimes I forget, and this is something I read and cover all the time, is that they were the first company to get NFL streaming rights. They got Thursday Night Football in 2016. They beat out Facebook and Amazon. They had it for a year. Their viewership numbers were not the best, and they obviously skewed towards that under 25 demographic, and a lot of them came from international markets. But that shows at least that they had a pitch that the NFL saw it as, hey, this works. We want this. And then obviously Amazon came in and spent a little bit more money than they were willing to spend. But that shows that this company, who you might not think of being able to handle live streaming, they got the biggest television product in the United States. They got Thursday Night Football, and they got to do it before anyone else. So that's a good sign for them going forward that they were at least able to do that, and it was a viable product on their platform. They've had golf on Thursday and Friday mornings before the rounds really get going, where a lot of the hardcore golf fans, shout out to my producer Danny, wants to see these early round coverages of some of the guys you might not see on TV because they normally only show the lead groups. And then a striking example of how important and how many people could watch these sports that you might not think of as mainstream because they're not, is the last two seasons, the WNBA has had roughly 20 games a season streamed on Twitter. And these numbers, like, I double check these because they didn't seem real. So the 2017 season, last year, the three most watched games on Twitter averaged 1.1 million unique viewers. And 60% of them were overseas, where women's basketball is a little bit more popular. And so the average WNBA game for the first season on Twitter averaged just over 610,000 people a game, which in my opinion is really huge when you think the average NBA game only, it gets a little over 2 million. To get 1.1 on Twitter for WNBA is really impressive. And I think that that is something that Twitter can show, where these big companies can't really justify showing these more niche sports. And we'll get into that a little bit later, that that's where these streaming platforms can say, hey, there is a craving for this, and you can attach your advertising to it. And that's what we'll do. And then obviously you have ESPN has really tried to pump out a lot of content on Twitter. They have versions of their big shows like SportsCenter on there that are specific to the platform. And overall, they have a little bit more than 40 current deals in place with media and broadcast partners. And I want to dive into something that just debuted last week that encapsulates what Twitter's plan is in this niche market that I'm talking about. If you're an older listener, this might even, it might sound like a joke, what this company's doing and just how it all started. So Twitter started a show last week called the House of Highlights Show. And this is based on a popular Instagram page that Bleacher Report bought a few years ago. So this Instagram page shows highlights of NBA games predominantly, and a few other sports. They're soon going to start showing Champions League highlights, but they've amassed just under 11 million Instagram followers, which is almost on par with ESPN. It was a kid who started it, and he's young, 24. And now they have an 8-episode show that's going to be live on Twitter once a week. It's going to kind of have a late night talk show vibe where lots of it live, and then they cut away to pre-recorded stuff. The first episode had a current NBA free agent who was on the Warriors championship team last year. That is Nick Swaggy P. Young. So this just kind of shows that they had a Instagram account that got 11 million followers. And I'm going to pull up this number real fast. During the NBA season, the page averaged about 700 million video views per month, which is mind-blowing. That is a crazy number, 700 million video views per month on this Instagram page. And that is clearly why Bleacher Report decided to buy an Instagram account. They bought an Instagram account. That almost doesn't sound real to some people, but it's true. And Twitter, how Twitter is using this, they're not paying people to do this. They're co-selling sponsorships. So for this show, the House of Highlights show, McDonald's is the lead sponsor for all 8 episodes. And then reportedly Venmo and Uber Eats have also signed on to sponsor multiple episodes. So that's how they're making money. And as I've said, it just honestly seems, if you would have told someone 5 years ago that these big media companies would be buying someone's Instagram account, and then that Instagram account would end up having a Twitter show live and they'd be getting NBA players on it, it just doesn't seem real. And just for reference, Bleacher Report was bought in 2012 by Turner Broadcasting for $180 million. At the time, Bleacher Report was a digital media company that was producing a lot of sports-based content. And since then, they've really expanded, and they're now offering Bleacher Report Live, which I've touched on, I believe, once on this show before. And that is now owned by AT&T, because Turner is owned by Time Warner, who was recently bought by AT&T. So Bleacher Report Live, and now that I'm mentioning this, Turner, through Bleacher Report and their properties, which is TBS and TNT and True TV, they also have a chance to really stand out in this streaming sports future, because a lot of the stuff they're experimenting with seems like a really great idea, and I really do think it has legs going forward. They're the company that won the rights to show all of the Champions League soccer games in the States this year. For a monthly cost, you can watch every Champions League game that month for $9.99 a month, or for the season, $79.99 a month. Or you can buy, on a case-by-case basis, individual games for $2.99. And I know some people might not be soccer fans, and these games are often, well, not often, they're always during the middle of the week, unless you get down to the end of the season when those games are on the weekend. But the idea of just having the option to, you don't have to have a cable package that has these soccer games. You can just go on your computer and spend $3 if you want to watch this big game. And you can really see this working with groups of friends. Hey, $3 is nothing to when you have three people, or even just yourself. But those costs are going to add up really, really, really quickly, because you can see someone saying, oh, I don't want to pay the $9.99 a month, and then they end up buying 5 games that month anyways and spending more than they would have for the pass. And then they're also, Bleacher Report, through their partnership with Turner, offers this NBA League Pass right on their website as well. And then they also have golf's first ever pay-per-view, which is coming out the day after Thanksgiving. And it's going to be available a couple other places, but they've just put out the price point. That's going to be $19.99 to watch Tiger Woods play Phil Mickelson. So you can spend $20. I guess it's cheaper than a big prize fight, but it seems kind of crazy. We'll see if it works. We'll see how many people it gets. I actually would be really interested to see how many people watch Tiger and Phil play each other live streamed on the internet, but we will see. And I want to slowly transition into a couple more examples of how streaming sports can get into this really niche environment. And both of them have to do with NBC, which is obviously owned by Comcast. So NBC just last week rolled out a new NBC Snow Pass. And this is through their NBC Sports. And this is a direct-to-consumer product that's going to be geared towards just winter sports. So that's going to be alpine skiing, ski jumping, cross-country, biathlon, snowboarding, all that kind of stuff. And I don't want to get bogged down in any more of the details, but they're going to charge consumers $69.99 for what they say is going to be 700 hours of live coverage. And just the fact that you can buy a standalone streaming package of just winter sports in a year that doesn't involve the Winter Olympics for $70 really, in my mind, shows this micro payments, which could end up maybe costing you a lot more than just having cable in the long run, in shows this direction that we're headed in, where streaming can get to people wherever they want to be, because you're gonna be able to get this NBC through your Android or Apple or Amazon Fire TV, anything like that. And then NBC is also going to roll out something in 2019, and that is another sport that is not widely popular. The Premier Lacrosse League is going to start on NBC Sports in the spring of 2019. It is going to be the inaugural season of this outdoor lacrosse league, and they're going to have a 14-week season where they go and do stops, a tour of 12 cities, and they're going to have a regular season and playoffs, and this is going to be available to fans on NBC's direct consumer package, and then I think they're going to have some games on television as well from what it seems like so far. But all of this is to say, sports are where the advertisers want to be, so all of these companies are going to, they're going to roll out as many sports products as people can think of, because live is the only thing advertisers care about now. TV shows don't need to be live. Even if you watch on-demand television of your favorite TV shows on regular TV, most people aren't watching those commercials anyways. They've made it now harder to skip through the commercials because people realize they have to, advertisers want this to happen. So that's where you're going. You're going to have lacrosse and snow sports in the winter, and all of this random stuff is going to be available to anyone who wants it. And then I want to close with just a look at what I was watching the game, game one of the World Series, and it struck me as odd, not odd, but YouTube TV is the big sponsor of the World Series and the NBA Finals, and they cut away, and I thought it was strange, and then I read that this is some big deal that YouTube did this, and they had a AR TV ad during Fox's coverage. It was the first time they had done this, so they cut away like it was going to commercial from inside Fenway Park, and it went to above the Green Monster, and it started showing coverage of YouTube TV like it was in the stadium. Looks insanely real, and this is something that just struck me, because this AR in sports, it's not really out there yet, but the idea of AR in virtual reality and sports programming is something you might see slowly be pushed out a little bit more. I know that the Olympics has done it, where they do some events in virtual reality, but you could definitely see that becoming more popular going forward. That is, if those headsets ever really take off, because I don't know if people are going to want to sit with headsets on their head with a group of people. Maybe you watch it alone, but definitely pay attention to that idea of live virtual reality television, because that ad just struck me, and if they're doing it now that easily on just your regular TV, it could easily be something that happens in the future if people want that access to virtual reality sports. But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.